The U.S. military is looking to use artificial intelligence to help pilots. Initial iterations of Skyborg have been tested in Yuma, and officials hope to eventually be able to produce the drones for a few million dollars each. To talk more about what this means for both the military and AI in general, our co-host Mark Brody spoke via Skype with Peter Singer. He's a strategist at New America and a professor of practice at ASU's Center for the Future of War.
What is this all about? What's the purpose of this?
So what the Air Force is working on is the next generation of unmanned aerial systems, popularly known as drones. And one of the visions of them is that they could operate as almost like robotic wingmen for fighter and bomber planes, so that you would have the man plane flying out there and then flying alongside it, maybe doing missions for it, would be an unmanned jet fighter size plane.
What is the goal of having artificial intelligence involved with this? Like, what does that do for the Air Force that just maybe a regular remote-controlled unmanned drone might have?
So there's a couple of things going on here. The first is the idea that you could task out that robotic plane to take on some part of the mission that might be too complex, too dangerous in particular for a human wingman. The other thing that's happening is an issue of financial cost. To put it bluntly, the Air Force budget isn't big enough to buy all the manned fighter planes that it wants. And so it's looking to cheaper unmanned alternatives as a way of kind of bulking out the force.
I wonder, given the unpredictability of war and combat, if it might be more difficult for an AI system to sort of learn what the quote-unquote right thing to do is, as opposed to, say, you know, driving a car on the freeway.
That's a really good point. We've already seen major issues with driverless cars getting into accidents and the like, not only because they weren't programmed for certain situations, but also that they had to deal with people. People do unexpected things. In war, though, it's not just that they act in unexpected manners, that you have an adversary. But, you know, we need to be careful here when we're talking about these projects right now and in this generation of unmanned systems and AI and the like. We're nowhere near the land of the Terminator or the Matrix or whatever, where the machine is, you know, taking all of its decisions on its own, operating out there on its own. A better way to think about this is sort of the transition of something that's completely remotely operated to maybe something that's a little bit like police dog, where, you know, it's working together with the police officer, but it's, you know, being tasked out, but it's, you know, not supposed to decide who it investigates on its own or even who it bites on its own. Then you get sort of the next level of autonomy and authorization, where a parallel for that might be, say, the game of football, where you have a quarterback and you have wide receivers, and the, you know, quarterback calls a play, the wide receiver carries them out. That may be a similar issue here for the man machine and the robotic wingman that's out there. You know, it's taking on some kind of mission. And just like in football, you know, you might have the play break down, and so they fall back on established alternatives and the like. Then you get to the final stage of this, that it's more like an actual human wingman, where the two are flying together and they have kind of an intuitive understanding of how the other is operating.
When you talk about not really being that close to having this operation, like how far away do you think we really are?
Oh, we are not multiple human generations away from it, but we're not, you know, years. So, you know, I guess the way of thinking about it is each iteration of this is going to get better and better. The more you use it, the more operational it becomes, the more we learn, the more it learns. So, you know, don't expect to see this in the next couple of years on a battlefield near you, but maybe a little bit after that.
What do you think, even in these early stages, that all of this says about both sort of the future of robotics and the future potential of AI and this type of technology for military use?
I think there's two things going on here that are important. The first is the way we think about and talk about artificial intelligence and robotics in both war and civilian life is we tend to kind of fall back on science fiction. What's playing out, though, is not a revolt of the robots, but rather a robotics revolution, kind of like an industrial revolution, where you're seeing this technology used at the tactical level, but it's also causing these larger changes in terms of, you know, overall military doctrine to the kind of skills that you need, whether you're a pilot that's going to be accompanying one of these unmanned systems, or whether you're working as a doctor now, or you're working as a lawyer, or you're working as a factory worker, whatever. So, you know, we have this kind of mass scale of change that's going on. And I think this technology that the Air Force is working on is a good illustration of that. The second thing that's happening is that we see two very different directions with the future of robotics playing out. One is systems like this that are, in essence, mimicking and then replacing the human role. So the vision of it is very much like a robotic version of a human wingman. But there's another change going on with robotics on both civilian and military side, which is where it's not, you know, mimicking it, but rather it's playing out in parallel to something else in nature. It's the idea of swarming, where, you know, like, for example, ants or insects, each little individual is not all that smart, but working together, they can do very complex tasks. And so you're looking at the future of robotics, again, in war and civilian life, it may not be these big, large systems. It may be lots of teeny tiny ones. The point is that you have these two very different directions of robotics that are happening at the same time.
All right. That's Peter Singer with ASU Center on the Future of War. Peter, good to talk to you. Thank you.
All right. Take care.